is to put Ted on first. Ted Weisgold, because he's taking some people to the airport.
Oh, okay.
And,
okay, yes. If other members of the public do not.
Kendra, her husband, and Brian.
Okay.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
See you.
Bye.
Bye, Brian.
Stay.
Okay. Ted, you're on.
Okay. Deb, thank you. I really want to make
sure. Mike. Ted, sorry.
There's a mic right here. There's a mic right here.
Okay, Ted, would you go over here, please, and do it from there? Sure.
That way you're on TV as well.
Camera and everything.
And you're wearing your Sunday clothes.
On Sunday.
On Sunday.
Thank you, Ted.
Aww. Sorry, I don't have Sunday
okay.
clothes.
I really want to make my remarks to both Deb Shafto and to the Governance Committee that both of us will soon be on. 2 minutes will not allow me to say what I want to say right now, but I want to begin this dialogue. Last night, Deb was really upset with me because I raised a question of whether or not she is legitimately on this board. We recently had a vote at our local station board to fill the vacancy, and in Section 8 of Article 5, it talks about filling vacancies, and it doesn't say anything about pursuant to a previous article about whether or not you have to have a year of eligibility before you run to fill a vacancy. After Deb was elected, actually before she was elected, in our meeting I asked the chair of our board who was eligible. And she basically said it was Deb and myself and one other person who declined. So we ran and Deb won. The question is whether or not four or five other people who were recently elected to the board within the last year are eligible to run. Going back to history, Deb and Teresa really wanted to push these bylaws through. I thought there were a lot of flaws in them. Going back to history, I felt that the bylaws should not have been passed and were not passed legitimately. The judge ruled they are our bylaws. Deb wanted to delay the process of amending the bylaws. We did delay that. We should have gotten involved in fixing the mistakes in these bylaws almost immediately upon the first election. We didn't do that. We need to look at these bylaws. As a little kid, I was taught in kindergarten, which you teach, follow the rules.
Time.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Thank you, Ted. Next, we have James Shriver and then Clay Smith.
Madam Chair, Pacifica National Board, good afternoon. Thank you for bringing the Pacifica National Board meeting to Houston and to giving ear to the local community's concerns. I appear before you today dressed all in black, as it is a dark day in Houston. Many are incandescent with rage about the May Day 2005 deletion of alternative and progressive news from KPFT's airwaves. Democracy Now!, Flashpoints, and other vital news shows are no longer heard in the fourth largest U.S. city, the Houston-Galveston area. Now I bring before you many and several concerns about questionable, even illegal, actions taken by KPFT local station board. And I respectfully request the favor of a written reply. On or about August 31st, 2005, KPFT LSB, then chaired by Susan Young, suspended Ken Freeland. As you may know, Ken is active in the peace, justice, and civil liberties movements, and thus represents a wide spectrum of the community of listeners of KPFT. I believe that Ken was illegally suspended from LSB, and here are the reasons why. Ken was not allowed to represent himself at this meeting held in executive session. Ken was suspended without due process. Ken was suspended without cause. LSB, now chaired by T.C. Smythe, would not...
Time.
Madam Chair, I respectfully request to submit this written document into the record of this session.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. There's no objections. I'll take it. And we could talk after, but if you could also email this to our secretary, but I will give her the hard copy as well. Thank you. Clay Smith and then Sue Young.
May I take this on with my written on it? Thank you.
LSB, now chaired by T.C. Smythe, would not respond to a query at a recent LSB meeting whether minutes of this executive session were posted to PNB as bylaws require. It is strongly suspected that a review of the minutes will find that LSB did not obtain a two-thirds majority vote to suspend Ken. I call upon PNB to review the circumstances surrounding Ken's suspension, including audio tapes in possession of Mary Dennis. If PNB finds that Ken was illegally suspended from LSB, that it will take measures to ameliorate this situation, including 1. Take immediate actions to restore him to LSB. 2. Consider sanctioning those Wildcat LSB members who took this illegal action by demanding their resignations. Institute protections for LSB members to preclude similar future actions. Ken stated the reason for his suspension is he protested the general lack of transparency, accountability, and responsiveness at KPFT. On or about September 28th, Robert Graham was elevated to LSB due to a resignation. At that time, he requested to join Management Search and Review Committee and Finance Committee as a full member with full voting rights. He was accepted on MSRC, but was denied Finance Committee by Sandy Weinman. No cause was given. When Robert asked for clarification, he was given none. I call upon Pacifica National Board to investigate this matter and to follow bylaws. 1. Take immediate actions to allow Robert Graham to join Finance Committee at KPFT. 2. Sanction Sandy Weinman by demanding his resignation from LSB. At a recent LSB meeting under dubious circumstances, which include the item not being on the meeting agenda in the normal fashion, Deb Shafto was elected to delegate at PNB.
I have a pretty long list, and I'd like to
please.
Through it.
Actually, this is, we don't get your attention very often.
Yes. If there's everyone more has 2 minutes. Clay Smith?
Yes.
Extend the time to 3 minutes.
Second.
Are we going to go, is that going to be retroactive?
No. From now on, no.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of extending time to 3 minutes? All those opposed? Extensions? So moved.
At the end.
Sure. They said it wasn't retroactive.
It's not retroactive. I'll pick up where Mr. Shriver left off. What we're seeing here in Houston is blatant corruption in actuality, that we are dealing with people who are shallow, childish, immature, that cannot place their personal political agendas aside in order to work towards the greater good. These people have conspired and colluded to subvert the democratic process at every turn. I'm not asking you to believe a single thing I say. The record will quite clearly speak for itself if one makes the effort to listen to the archives. I came to challenge the manager to a public debate. He said several things yesterday in his report that I take issue with, and although I don't think that he has the courage to do that, but I do challenge you to, for every point that you made, everything that you spoke to yesterday, I would And it would be a great opportunity for you to share your vision. In fact, that is what's missing here with the Pacifica Network in general. There is no unifying, clearly articulated vision that gives us all one singleness of purpose. I've been looking at the nature of conflict quite a bit. In Pacifica, people are very adept at looking at conflict on a national or international in that context, but not in the interpersonal context. We need quite a bit of work there. I've discovered something about conflict that it's difficult to explain. It requires a complete reframing of the issues, and I won't take the time to do this. I want to get back to the subversion of the democratic process, that these board members are standing naked, and they don't even realize it, that their attempts to wheedle, find loopholes in the bylaws or in Robert's rules, the autocratic nature of the manager and the board to employ the rules that suit them as they suit them. And this is not tolerable. I don't know who they actually think they're dealing with, but this is very much like the occupation in Iraq. And we are the insurgents. We live here. We're not going away. This is our network. Get the message and get right. Thank you very much. I yield the 30 seconds to James Shriver if he so desires.
James, would you like that
30
seconds?
I would, but I'd like to wait until the end.
Okay.
Accumulate as many minutes as possible. Thank you very much for your attention.
Sue Young.
I would like to wait and be the last speaker. Thank you.
Alrighty. Lisa, and then Monica Lopez. Liza. Sorry.
Lisa.
Lisa?
No,
okay.
You're right.
Julie, I just came in. I didn't have a chance to sign in. My name is Anne, A-N-N-E.
Alrighty.
My name is Lisa Welch. I serve on the Houston KPFT local station board. My understanding of Pacifica is it means peace in words and deeds. I have experienced more fear serving on this board than I've experienced in any other aspect of working, volunteerism, being a mother, all of the things that I do in my life. I cringe sometimes when I start my car after board meetings. And this atmosphere of fear and being ruled by a very vocal minority is getting very burdensome to me. My husband's begging me to quit serving on this board because of the chaos that it creates in my life. I'm part of the rogue majority. I'm one of the people that votes with far more than half of the board, and not always the same exact people, but far more than half, for the actions that you are hearing from other people are so reprehensible. I'm not afraid of the KKK. I'm not afraid of the Bible Belt Christians. I'm not afraid of the W supporters. I'm afraid of the people inside the organization that I work with. I have had fellow board members tell me about emails that they've received. An African-American board member who told me last week that she received an email telling her, and this was from an anonymous source she could not track, that she is a slave and that she has enslaved herself to the white people again by joining the rogue majority. Another board member, his wife received an email that he could not trace also, telling her that he was having an affair with another board member. That people are stirring up, and if we're on television or on the radio, I don't know how much language we can use, so I'll just say beep. It is being stirred continuously here. What you're hearing is a load of BS. I'm a pagan. The only tenet I live by is do as thou wilt, and ye harm none. You take your own place in life. You do what you want to do as long as no one, including yourself, is ever harmed. And I am not seeing this with this LSB. Our meetings are chaos. Ken Freeland, after he was suspended, attended every board meeting and took 30 minutes of our time, of our valuable time, with points of order after point of order after point of order. And then the parliamentarian he recommended to Sue Young ruled him out of order, ruled that he should be removed from the room, and now he doesn't like that parliamentarian. And I see this repeatedly. These are my notes from the people that spoke before. They fought for new management. Now they don't like them. They fought for the LSB, local station boards, and for governance and within the stations that's not doing what they wanted it to do. And so now they don't like them. They fought for parliamentarians within our own boards. And now they don't like them because they're not being ruled for them. And our COCs are being used to punish us for speaking our minds. And I'm tired of it. I'm ready to start speaking my mind.
Time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Monica Lopez, and then Jane Jackson.
Tall as most other folks. My name is Monica Lopez. I work with Free Speech Radio News. I and a number of other FSRNers made a presentation at the last board meeting where we submitted an agreement that we had voted on at the end of negotiations that we had been having with Pacifica for about a year. And in the process, we were told, I believe, at that meeting that about 2 months later, we would get a report back or a response from the board, and we never did. I understand that you all have been very busy working on getting a new ED and all of that, and I understand that. But at this point, I also understand that there was a budget increase that was voted on by the board this go-around. I'm not sure exactly how much that was and how that would affect the negotiations and discussions that we would be having in the future. So I'd like to ask that we would get some sort of a response, maybe have some kind of a follow-up discussion with the negotiators from the PNB or other representatives of the board to kind of let us know what that means. Does that mean that we're not going to have further discussions with the negotiators from the PNB or, you know, what that means in general? So that's kind of what I'm here to ask for. And I would hope that we could have a response to that at some point.
Could we respond or something?
No, we can't.
You can't respond?
This is.
You could talk to our
office. Maybe somebody could spin the rule.
Yeah. Just wanted to know how that would, how the increase, well, one, how much it is, and how that would affect the ongoing negotiations that we're kind of still up in the air about, because we really don't know what's going on your end since we had submitted our proposal earlier this year.
So is something going on?
Point of order.
We can't do it.
Point of order.
I'll
give
comment time.
I believe this is something that is going to be addressed in the next agenda item after the public comment, which is the interim ED's report, in which I assume he'll make mention of this, and maybe we could ask him questions.
I'd just simply like Ms. Lopez to clarify. She's had, or the FSRN people, the negotiating team, you've had no discussions with anyone from the Pacifica National Board that was identified to conduct discussions with you?
No, I've had informal discussions with people, and the discussion, what basically came out of it was that that you all were very busy, you were inundated with work, looking for an executive director. There were some other issues that were involved. We're very interested in working with you. We value Free Speech Radio News, don't worry about it. But at the same time, we're still operating at this.
Sure.
We were still operating at this lower budget, and we've been in negotiations and in conversations with Pacifica for a number of years now. So
you get paychecks,
I appreciate
right?
the clarifying intent. Questions yeah. from the board. If we can, in the interim executive director's report, are you going to stick around
I
for
will.
A little bit?
Yes.
Okay,
all
great.
Right. Thank
and
you.
If we have clarifying the questions, then we can bring you into that discussion.
Point of information.
Thank you, Monica. What?
The budget we passed at this meeting is a public document, is it not?
Sure.
It's just not a time to report on it.
Jane? And then Masood. Can someone
yes.
pass the
can you give me the microphone, please?
Thank you.
I'm Jane Jackson. I'm a former member of the KPFA local station board. And the agenda has been reversed after I left last night, and I thought we would all have heard the executive director's report. So I'm going to address something that I hope all of you on the PNB have read. And on the last page, I will read for the listeners and viewers. ADA, I have initiated, this is Ambrose's report. I have initiated a proposed agreement with Francie Moeller and her firm, ADA Compliance Service, and will execute it on October 31, 2005. The finalized agreement, which will cost less than $10,000, will be transmitted to the board immediately. This firm was highly recommended by Jane Jackson, and its owner was the person used by the San Francisco Giants to determine how best to lay out its new stadium to best meet the ADA requirements. There's an omission, and the omission is that Francie Moeller was recommended to me by Larry Buckholder. And Larry Buckholder is an unpaid staffer at KPFA, a person with a disability, and only the second ever to be admitted to the training program, the internship program. And so I would like to have that information corrected. And lastly, I would simply like to say that this is an incredible piece of work. And I really, truly hope that everyone takes the time to read Ambrose's thoughts. I've known Ambrose for many years, and I have great respect for him. And it's in that vein that I openly ask you to read this document, because he came in from the outside and had a hopefully less biased approach to what he observed and had to deal with than some other people involved in the fray. And for that reason, I ask all of you, PNB and anyone else, to read this document. Thank you, Ambrose.
Thank you, Jane. Next, we have Adnan and then James.
Oh, Masood, I think you mentioned.
Oh, sorry, Masood, I had accidentally crossed you off already.
Yeah, sure. But seriously, I was going to start with you, Julie. I really appreciate the way you did the chair in the meeting. It's very, it's what we want from the chair, that make sure the ball is rolling all the time and it's fair to everyone. I really appreciate, and I hope we learn other chair people of the different meeting follow your example. And I hope you never have to stand up like last time you did. But anyway, one quick thing about the KPFT situation. We have a good radio station. After Katrina and Rita, we showed that we are very in good position to adjust ourselves to something unpredictable, something like hurricane. And you all heard it on the national level. But the LSP problem, I see there is a problem, but that's LSP problems, not KPFT as a radio station. We have a lot of good people working very hard every day, 24 hours. We have good programming. But yesterday after the Rob presentation, I came with this concept because it really moved me. I really appreciate it. It was very good presentation, not even the work they have done, the way he explained it. It was very clear and useful for everyone. I was thinking as the concept, and I want you to think about this concept while you're flying back, and it's not anything rushed to it. I was thinking at this situation we are in and this political atmosphere we are in, which is very interesting, at the same time very dangerous, we have to come to this conclusion that we need an invisible leadership throughout Pacifica. This leadership doesn't have title, doesn't have a body like PNB. These are the people, and they come from different level of, you can be listener, you can be programmer, you can be general manager, whatever position you have, it doesn't go by title. It's the person, a leader that listens to everyone and has one agenda in their work, and that's expansion of Pacifica. That's what we need right now. What Rob's report was interesting. Interesting, and FSRN that it's very helpful to Pacifica and Pacifica Spanish News. These are the questions that is front of us that we have individually to work together. This invisible leadership can communicate together in different levels. It doesn't have to be as form of body, but if you are in that leadership, when you get up in the morning, you're going to ask yourself, how I can improve Pacifico's mission today, and go for it. Organizational matters, I'm afraid, I'm worried, I'm telling you, it could be from outsiders stopping us to do actions. That's why we have a lot of discussion on organizational, because organizational, we don't go anywhere. With strategy and discussion and dialogue, we can go forward.
Thank you, Masood.
Thank you.
And sorry for glossing over. Adnan? And then Anna?
Anne. Hi, part of the KPFT board, and thank you all for coming to Houston. It was good meeting everyone. Always hear you guys on the phone, and now I face this with names. Just wanted to continue Masood's track about not focusing on governance. People have come here and tried to proclaim that they're in the minority, but I feel I'm the minority, and I'm the only one that's in that group, because I'm tired of governance. Every side, you know, likes to talk about creating bylaws, while I'm excited about working with policy and programming and issues of bettering the station and bringing more audience into the KPFT community. And those are the things that we should be focusing on. So people that are in the governance committee, you know, spend time on it, you know, effectively, efficiently. You know, these are not the issues that we should bog ourselves down with. My main purpose of commenting today was about Ken's issue. I try to stay away from governance. I just came in July, so it's been crazy. I was in that meeting, and you've been hearing a lot of distorted opinions about what happened. That does not mean that some infractions didn't occur. That does not mean that the process was perfect. I would like to know how we messed up on our process and improved, because as a board member, I want to make sure that everyone is given, the right to be heard, and, you know, no one's rights are infringed upon. But due process was served, and there are 18 other board members that voted that thought that due process was served, and majority of the board voted a certain way because of a certain reason. That doesn't mean that I don't agree, that I disagree with Ken's opinions. I mean, I am for better scheduling of programming. I'm against the morning, music programming. I agree with a lot of things that he says, but I just choose to go about it in a constructive manner such that I can get things effectively changed for better. And so when the governance committee gets together to discuss Ken's issue, I just request that you call in other board members for their perspective. You know, maybe I would love to come in and share what I felt happened that day. Bring in Ngozi, just resigned. She was in that meeting, and she can give you a very accurate perspective as well. So, you know, just broaden your view when you make this decision. And, we should just, again, spend as little time as possible on these issues and get to the meat of the network, which is programming. And just want to remind everyone of that. Thank you for your time, and I hope to meet you in the future as well. Thanks.
Anne? And then after that, Renee?
I'm a listener to KPFT. KPFT Houston programming needs to be seriously rethought and revamped. Many of the programs are egotistic and racist-driven, with mindless conversational trivia, and appears to be dominated by a minority few. You have the opportunity for growth and maturity in the new 21st century, rather than staying stuck in the past, doing the same-o, creating a fissure with the people who want to support and listen to KPFT. The ball is in your court and your responsibility. Your salaries, I guess, are paid for by listeners, sponsors, subscribers, and ought to reflect our wants and needs, not a selective, archaic few.
Thank you, Anne. Renee?
Welcome to Houston, everyone. My name is Renee Feltz. I'm a KPFT local news co-director. And I wasn't really prepared to speak too much, but I came in support of what Monica was asking about, because news is obviously important to me. And FSRN has been very important to our news department. And I thought I'd take advantage of the opportunity while you all are here. So I think everyone here is interested in the strength of both our local stations. Obviously, you guys come from the local stations, as well as the National Foundation. And so it's important to look at our priorities. And I think news should be one of the top priorities. And I'm going to step away from the content of the news and look at the infrastructure, which I think is something that doesn't get enough attention. I think we are here meeting at Houston Media Source, an example of how Pacifica can support independent media, and we see a lot of the great things coming out of Houston Media Source. But Houston Media Source points to another issue. Their contract has not been renewed by the city of Houston, and they basically are facing extinction unless that happens. And it just points to this way of looking at independent media in our country right now and showing that it's kind of under attack. So it's important that we look at how Pacifica, which is still independent and still relatively strong, stays strong. And I think one of the ways to do that is to provide news. News is something that's becoming increasingly less available through our other media outlets. I think it makes Pacifica strong because it attracts new blood. It attracts young people. It attracts good minds. It attracts respect for the network if we have our facts straight. Free Speech Radio News is part of that. They provide training to our news reporters. I myself was trained by Monica Lopez and Joe Garner-Wesley, and look at where I am today. It allows us to support independent media. It supports, like, for example, another example, it allows us to hire from within and really create an independent media infrastructure. Where did Amy Goodman come from? She was a news director at WBAI in New York City. Amy Goodman will die one day like all of us. We have to think about who to replace her with, how to grow her, how we can have hundreds of Amy Goodmans running around. The news infrastructure, and specifically Evanston. Well, I'm not applying for... I'm not applying for a job at Democracy Now!, but you know, our listeners and you guys seem to all really like Democracy Now! It's your flagship program, right? Well, you know, all I'm saying is that we need Democracy Now! At our local stations, because if you had that, the local people would really stand up and support you, I think. So, your board members, content is attractive and sexy, but infrastructure is incredibly important. It's very difficult to talk about how to fund the news without strings attached. You guys are in a position to control the purse strings, to look at the budgets, and to help develop grants and other sources of funding for the news departments and for FSRN that we sorely need. I'm not in that responsibility. The development directors are there, the general managers, but you specifically are there. I ask you to take your job seriously. Thank you.
Thank you. James, you have 30 seconds.
Amazing world for
hundreds of Amy Goodman.
And what that was, a brief conversation that I had with Dwayne, that I want to try to make some things very clear, because there's a herd of elephants in the room. And one of those elephants is the fact that we place the managers in a terribly compromised position from day one. Their livelihood is... they have huge conflicts of interest because their livelihood is contingent upon this thing. I think we really need to examine that. And thanks for your attention again.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
May I be afforded the opportunity for the additional 2 minutes that the other...
I would suggest we give them to Steve Brown, who ceded his time, and if he'd like to cede them to the gentleman, he can do that.
Why?
He had 4 minutes.
He's had 4 minutes.
But Steve has had no time. My suggestion.
I'd rather just say if Steve Brown wants to speak, he should speak. But other than that, everyone else who's wanted to speak has spoken.
Yeah,
except for Susan. Sorry. Well, Susan wants to be the shebang at the end.
Yes.
In the
front. Exactly right, and I'm the shebang.
Can we have order, please? Steve, would you like to...
She bangs. 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
She moves.
There's 2 minutes up.
Hi, my name is Steve Brown. I'm a member of the WBAI LSB. I wanted to bring a matter to the board's attention that concerns me personally and is also of general concern, or should be, to the foundation. I have been a critic for a long time of our program director's policies and job performance, and I've criticized him in the email forums to which everyone has access. About a week and a half or 2 weeks ago, the program director went on the air and did not refute or even mention any of the performance issues, but talked about a certain rich white gentleman and several other members on the LSB who were criticizing him because they were racist. He then went on for an hour and a half and finally identified me as the person that he had been talking to. Now, I came here after being urged by several hundred listeners, members of the local board, and my attorneys to sue the foundation because this was libel per se, and it's actionable. I couldn't bring myself to sue an organization that I've supported with time and money for 40 years. But this kind of thing where different broadcasters go on the air and use the airwaves to attack people who criticize their job performance is intolerable, both as a legal matter because it exposes a foundation to really serious legal action, and as a personal and ethical matter. And I think the board should really take notice of this. I don't know what the situation is at other stations in the network, but it's very bad at WBAI. It's the program director is out of control there. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. And lastly, we have Sue Young.
Thank you. I have given you written remarks. I can't reach the... thank you. But there you go. Obviously, technically challenged. Do we get to hear from the minority? I think that you have gotten a very good taste of what our committee meetings are like, our LSB meetings are like, public comment, emails, and on the air. So you can see that there is a lot of vigorous discussion. And as a result, we have had 4 board meetings in September alone, 2 personnel committee meetings, 2 governance committee meetings. We have brought in pro bono advice and nonviolent communications expert, an attorney, and a mediator. We are working hard to address the chaos that results from this. And the minority opinions are not just stated and ignored, but they are reflected in our standing rules, our performance reviews of management, the creation of the program council, the selection of a program director candidate pool. They don't agree with all the outcomes, and if they don't, they say it's not been democratic. What are the costs of this chaos? Short shrift to the Houston media source issue, Francis Newton, infrastructure, outreach, development and strategic planning, a toxic climate for employees and volunteers, disenchantment of listeners and members, the loss of 6 board members, 4 of whom are persons of color. We didn't just lose them. We lost their ties to the community, their background, skills, perspectives. We have lost 2 PNB members who you got to know, Mike Martin and Ngozi Kamau. How can the PNB help us? Get your own house in order. Accomplish more committee work, such as was reported on by Rob Robinson. Hire an ED and learn to work in partnership with your employees rather than in armed conflict. Make your HR director available to KPFT as soon as possible. We need that help. Provide more assistance and training to LSBs and to yourselves, particularly about dispute resolution and respective board management roles. Treat us and each other with respect. Don't just talk the mission. Live it and model it.
Very good. Thank you, Sue.